every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Living is the life for me.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is 8 o'clock Saturday morning, fourth Saturday of the month. So we are joined by urban farmer Greg in our weekly radio broadcast talking all things urban farming. And today is one of my favorite topics, backyard livestock. Good morning, Greg. And you've got a special guest joining you with us.
Hello, hello. Yes, I do, actually. I think she knows more about backyard livestock than I do. She's amazing. Kari Spencer from the Micro Farm Project. Hello,
Kari. Hi, everybody.
Well, we thank y'all for your time this Saturday morning. If you'd have questions about starting your own little flock of backyard livestock, different animals, different city regulations, we'll be covering all those things. But you can join the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions can be sent to 411-923. And if you'd like to snap a picture, need a little help with identifying what it is you're trying to describe, you can send pictures to info@rosieonthehouse.com. And, you know, I never like to start on a downer, but just before the broadcast, Greg, you called Ranchman's. Uh-huh. What did they say?
No, they called. They said, yeah, they're sold out on everything except meat turkeys.
Meat turkeys. I called Gordon's Feed. They're not getting any pullets for 10 days. And the stock shop has no idea when they're getting any.
Yeah.
So we're going to tell you how to raise chickens. You just can't buy any right now.
Right. Chickens, goats, and more, I guess, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of other backyard livestock besides chickens, although they're kind of the, I would say, the gateway backyard livestock.
Right? Absolutely. So where are we getting started?
Let's look at the different kinds of, just touch briefly on the different kinds of livestock that you can grow in your yard. And that's
there
me pitching to you.
So many
Kari.
Of them. well, you know, the I think the most common ones are chickens and goats, because people really like to have those eggs, and chickens are really, really easy, and goats because fresh raw milk is just the best. Those are maybe the two most common, but there are quite a few other ones. As you mentioned, the meat turkeys. Turkeys are very easy to raise. You just need some space. There's ducks. If you don't have much space and you want eggs, you can raise Coturnix quail, also called Japanese quail. They don't need much space at all, and they produce eggs like crazy. And of course there's backyard bees and rabbits
and worms
I mean, the list goes on.
Yeah, so let's jump into chickens and the benefits of keeping chickens, you know, because it's not just about eggs, is it, Kari?
Oh, absolutely not. There are so many benefits to keeping chickens. You know, you've got meat for some people, and besides eggs, they're really great helpers in the garden. They help to keep pests off the property. They can even hunt for scorpions and get rid of those. They create a lot of waste, which sounds like a problem, but if you're a gardener, it's actually a big benefit, because composted chicken waste and bedding is some of the best stuff you can put in your garden. Their feathers are great for composting as well, and they are a lot of fun. They are worth their weight in entertainment.
When you mentioned eating scorpions, that also reminded me, we never mentioned guineas, and I do miss having guineas at the place, but what I don't miss is inevitably, if you ever found time for that nice little 20-minute nap, that's when they were the loudest.
Yeah. Yeah, they can be very loud. Yeah.
Yeah, they're great eaters of bugs and weeds. In fact, my my compost area is in the chicken coop area, number one. And then the other thing I do is I let them kind of free range throughout my backyard so that they're doing the mowing of the grass so that I don't have to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And one thing I would also mention, considering the times we're living in right now, there's a lot of kids at home. Having backyard livestock is one of the best teaching tools that you can provide for your children, to teach them responsibility, where their food comes from. And in our case, we each of our kids had little businesses that they did with when they were young, selling eggs and milk and other products that they created. So, you know, it's something to think about for our children. And I'm glad I did it with mine.
And you'd mentioned the entertainment value of chickens as well. What varieties have y'all had success with here in the desert?
Carl?
Well, I like the Black Star and Red Star chickens. I like the Plymouth Rock chickens. There's quite a few varieties that will do really well here. It kind of depends on what you are looking to gain from the chickens. Whether you want meat or eggs or both. The Leghorns, they're skinny chickens. They don't eat much, but they produce a lot of eggs and they can handle the heat. But then there are some fatter varieties that eat more and they can produce eggs and possibly meat. And then there are strictly meat chickens. So, you know, it really depends on what you want. And there are online, if you Google it, you can find resources to help you to pick a chicken for depending on what your needs are and what your climate's like.
Now, there's something really important that it keeps coming up for me over the past 5 or 6 minutes or so, and that's the how we take care of chickens. It's not really just about going and getting a few chicks at the feed store. There's a process that goes behind it to make sure they're safe, isn't there, Kari?
Oh, yes. They have special needs depending on what age you buy them at. If you get chicks, you're going to need to set up a brooder because they can't control their own body temperature at first. You know, they're just so tiny. So you have to have an enclosed space that keeps them safe and protected. You need sources of water that they can't immerse themselves in, that they can just dip their beaks in, and there are special waterers made for chicks. You need a heat lamp, and you know, you just, they just need some special care. However, you can buy older hens, point of lay hens, that have, they're basically teenagers who are just on the point where they're going to start laying eggs, and they don't need a brooder at all. They need a coop, they need a run, they need a feeder, they need several sources of water, and they need good fencing that will keep predators out, including you know, your own dogs, if you have them. But also, right, we do have some critters that will jump the fence and can be dangerous to chickens, coyotes, and other animals, depending on how close you live to a preserve.
Well, and I'm at 16th Street in Bethany Home, essentially. And about 4 years ago, bobcats got in our backyard. Yes, I said bobcats at 16th Street in Bethany Home. And killed a bunch of our hens. So, and then shortly after that, we had a raccoon in our backyard. So if you're going to, I always encourage people that when you're getting chicks, you need to have thought through the entire process to have a predator-proof coop available for them.
Very
yeah,
critical.
Yeah, definitely. Chicken wire doesn't cut it. You got to have, you know, some hardware cloth, something that will really keep a predator out, something strong.
Then why is it called chicken wire?
Well, it'll keep a chicken in, but it's not coyote wire.
Oh, okay. I got you.
To keep the coyote out.
Exactly. Right.
A wily coyote.
No. And the other thing is that a few years ago, I lost some hens here. Maybe, I don't know. I've been keeping hens here for 20 years now. And a few years ago, I lost some hens because their water got warm in the summertime, and they don't drink warm and hot water, and they just dehydrated themselves and died. So it's always best to change out their water every day and have at least two, if not three, places where they can get water. That's really important.
And you had mentioned on the chicks, and to me, it's kind of pointless to buy point of lay hens. You miss the whole process, and they're so much more expensive. You can get, you know, when they're little tiny pullets and they're a couple days old, they're like $2 or $3 a piece. A point of lay hen, you know, they can start
25.
Right. So yeah. For us to buy the amount of chickens we like to keep, if we bought them all point of lay at $25, you know, multiply that by 24, and it just way outweighs the benefit and the cost. So we always like to start with them really small. And you'd mentioned a heat lamp. We've actually lost a few because they couldn't get far enough away from the heat lamp as well. Like you said, can't regulate their temperature. So you do have to provide the warmth, but you also have to make sure that they can cool themselves off as well.
Yes, definitely.
Right. We actually have an evaporative cooler that we bought off of Craigslist a few years ago. So when it gets really hot, we run the evap cooler for them. We have spoiled chickens here, I believe.
Yeah, you do.
Hey, and there's nothing wrong with that. If they're laying, I don't mind spoiling them.
Right? Yeah. Well, and they're very, very clearly they are Heidi's pets. We've got a sick hen right now who is in hopefully not hospice care in the indoor tub, you know, in our bathroom. So
hospice care. So I shouldn't have to, I'm assuming this means they all have names.
Oh yes. And they'll run up to her and climb up her back and jump into her arms and love to be hugged. Yeah, those are her pets.
If you handle them when they're young, they can make great pets.
Lap chickens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lap chicken. More with Farmer Greg and Kari Spencer here at Rosie on the House.